The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Would you consider yourself a road rager, or do you stay cool, calm and collected in the car? According to a UK survey, millennials and Gen Z are the angriest drivers. To explain why, I'm joined in studio by transport consultant Conor Faulkner. All right, Conor, why do we have this problem with angry millennials?
Well, I mean, this is a survey done in the UK by the Institute of Advanced Motorists, or their charity. They surveyed 2,000 motorists and they asked them a number of things to see how sort of prone they are to aggression and anger on the road. One of them was sounding the horn in anger. So do you use your... The horn should only ever be used to warn of danger, but people do it to express frustration or whatever. And it turns out on their data that your millennials and Gen Z, which is the younger cohort of drivers, I don't know where you precisely date that, Anton, but people sort of 30 and under, if you wish, are much more likely to do that than the older cohort, much more likely to do those angry gestures. And they're also corroborating it a bit by saying that dangerous driving convictions in the UK tend also to skew young. Now, does this mean that Gen Z and millennials are inherently worse, a bit grumpier, a bit ruder on the roads? I'm not really convinced by that. I think, you know, young drivers have always been the riskier cohort, whatever generation it is. I think the great thing about millennials is they're starting to be reasonable now that they're all growing up and we're complaining about the Gen Z behind them. So I think to some extent it was ever thus.
The reactions that, whether the reactions be appropriate or inappropriate, what is it that they are reacting to? What are the behaviours that inspire the greatest rage?
Well, there seem to be a couple of major triggers. One of them was slow drivers on the open road. Now, I'm familiar with that myself, and we all are, if you drive in rural Ireland at all. One vehicle that's driving very slowly, not in itself doing anything wrong, but causing frustration behind, and hence aggressive overtaking, etc. 80% of these respondents said that they had been the victim of aggressive tailgating. And I suspect that's true in Ireland as well. Now, sometimes that's in the eye of the beholder. You know, you see the car behind you and think, oh, he's being very aggressive, particularly if it's a big SUV tank. Whereas the driver of that may just, you know, not be deliberately rude. But I do think it's a phenomenon. And the other thing is that...
It's a phenomenon, it has to be said, that's very rarely policed. Now, it may be a very difficult one to police, but it's very rare that you see somebody being pulled over for driving 3 inches off the bumper of the car in front.
Yeah, and if you look at what we do get penalty points for, overwhelmingly, it's speeding. It's 74%, I think, of all penalty points issued are speeding. And the other really, really big ones are phone use and not wearing seatbelts. So throw in alcohol as well, and those are the things that kill. So you'll often have people talking about all sorts of obscure things and rumble strips and should we have this piece of pedestrian furniture in that housing estate because road safety. But actually the really big ones are speeding, drink driving, seatbelts, phone use. And the penalty points data show that. Our penalty points data, which is pretty good, doesn't really show Gen Z and millennials being the standout. But it does show males.
Show young male as well, though.
Young male,
millennial,
as well.
Gen Z. It is the sub 35 male is where your issue is.
Has always been,
and particularly
a
when you talk
cohort.
About things like drink driving, the stats on drink driving among young males is exponentially worse.
They're by far the highest risk takers, and that just seems to be a facet of human psychology. When you're young and male, the way your body is built, the way your brain is built, you're much more inclined to overestimate your own ability, act with greater confidence than you should have, and take risks.
And is that essentially what this survey is revealing? I mean, they term it as millennial, but essentially, are they pointing out young men get mad behind the wheel?
Yeah, and look, get mad behind the wheel is an overstatement too. We shouldn't talk about being young and male as if it was a character fault, you know.
Some of us suffered from it for a long time.
And I've been male all my life. I'm sort of getting used to it now. But you know, there is something in the character of young males. They tend to be risk takers. Brilliant in business, brilliant in science, brilliant in a million walks of life, dreadful on the roads. But even setting aside the young men, if you look at the population in general, it definitely still skews male. And it's not close. It's a 2-to-1 difference. So 2/3 of all penalty points issued are issued to males. Now, there is a little bit of a difference in the amount of driving that males and females do. The males do a little bit more. That's a social pattern thing. But even equalising for that, it's males much more than females. Just a fact of life.
When we are talking risk-taking, setting the survey to one side, we are coming into the period, which I think you would know the numbers better than me on this, but I think is the riskiest period as the evenings get longer and longer and there is more darkness. people and their commitment to being visible on the roads. It's one thing for those who are regular cyclists or motorcyclists or in the cars, but people now on e-scooters, pedestrians, all the rest, a lot of people out in dark clothing, crossing streets, taking risks.
And suddenly you're invisible, as in as of this week, because when the clocks went back, it meant that the commute home for the bulk of the population is now effectively in darkness. And a pet hate of all motorists is the badly lit cyclist. So, you know, we give the standard motoring advice this time of year. Now is the time to check your lights, check your tyres, do a walk around the vehicle, make sure all the bulbs work, go and get the bulb fixed if it doesn't. But for cyclists especially, be safe, be seen is the oldest piece of advice. Now, you actually will get some, I think, muppets who'll kind of push back against that advice and say, you know, it's my right to dress all in black if I want to be, you know, the cycling equivalent of Johnny Cash, and it's the motorist's obligation to see me. And, you know, I just think that's nonsense. Be safe, be seen, particularly in rural Ireland and you know, for cyclists and for pedestrians. If you've got small children on the roads, it's Halloween tomorrow, obviously, you know, have them lit up. The high-vises are brilliant. If you're cycling at all, if you're on an e-scooter, you've got to have functioning lights as a minimum.
I would have thought of saying the same to pedestrians, because, again, if you look at the numbers, the pedestrians killed in darkness, I think 90%+ of them, devoid of high-vis.
Yeah, and look, pedestrians are pedestrians. You know, high-vis isn't a sort of a normal uniform of your day. But if you are going to be out and about, and if you're, say, walking home on a rural road at night, you know, have a torch in your pocket, wear a high-vis, have an armband. Very, very easy things to do. And this has been good advice for many, many years. And we do kind of neglect it. The pattern of fatalities and injuries coming into autumn does change a little bit because of the dark evenings. When we get to Christmas, we begin to have a real issue with alcohol and the social use of alcohol for pedestrians as well as for drivers. But we're not really at peak alcohol season yet, funnily enough. But we are at that stage where the weather is closing in. So dangerous on the roads.
Talking about high-vis, Anton, would you please ask Connor, what happened to the reflective armband? It was a great safety item to keep in the jacket pocket, slip on the dark evenings, heading to the village shop or on foot or home from the pub. Also were very widely used by school kids. Can I get one from the RSA?
The RSA used to give away millions of euros worth, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, they had a budget of over 2 million, I think, and they physically gave away huge amounts of high-vis. The length and breadth of the country, loads of cyclists still have them. They're brilliant. Branded RSA. They're not doing that now. But you can still get, you know, there's relatively cheap sponsored ones from the various insurance companies if you don't mind sporting a brand. Or you can buy them quite cheaply. And a lot of the high-vis these days, the technology is fantastic. They really are unmissable when the beam of a headlight catches them.
And they're the ones for when you're not in the beam of a headlight, you don't look like you're working on a construction site.
Yeah,
it is possible.
Yeah,
that thing of the small armband that you would keep in the pocket and just throw on.
Yeah.
We
had loads of them. They still have loads of them littering in the garage, I think. And there's click on, click off ones and all that sort of stuff. I'm terrible because, you know, I will have working lights front and back on the bike. But frequently my high-vis armband is, you know, on a shelf in the garage. And I'm only twigging this as I'm heading home from town. So it'll catch a few people out. But you look, be safe, be seen. And don't get self-righteous about it. Just be safe about it.
On the topic of Gen Z and millennials, in general, says a text, I find that those under the age of 40 will just not wait. They will walk through you, around you at a fast pace. They cycle through traffic lights. They just won't wait their turn.
Yeah, I think I sort of see that too. And I think as you get a little bit advanced in years, there's a tendency to be calmer in situations like that, and perhaps a little bit less needlessly impatient. People get irrationally impatient for all sorts of reasons. You'll stand in front of the microwave going, come on, it's been 20 seconds. And of course, that's a little bit irrational. And if that behaviour creeps into your driving patterns, it's going to make you grumpy. It's going to make you seem rude when you don't want to be. And in theory, it could make you dangerous, which is obviously what we want to avoid.
Well, we're talking about that thing of the waiting their turn at traffic lights. It's recently that we saw the introduction of the new phasing of lights through Dublin city centre, where cyclists get a head start to get through junctions before. How is that going in terms of bedding in, or do we yet know?
Well, I mean, I cycle in Dublin City all the time, and it's a patchy experience. Some of the cycle tracks are good, some are dreadful. Some of the clearly very expensive ones that they're installing in parts of the city are, from my point of view as a cyclist, dreadful as well, over-engineered, over-complicated and not as good as they pretend to be. And then in city centres, you tend to be abandoned at junctions. So in every junction, every road user has to be careful. If you're a pedestrian, you know, don't be staring at your phone like a zombie and stepping out in front of people. And likewise, if you're a cyclist or if you're an e-scooter, and clearly also if you're a driver. I'm not sure we're seeing any sort of worsening of behaviour patterns or anything like that. And we are coping with a good flow of cyclists. I mean, cycling numbers in Dublin have been relatively, well, static in recent years, but we have made an improvement on them. And I think with the arrival of e-scooters, we should see more and more. And ultimately, that will be a good thing. But it'll make the city centre, you know, slightly change the profile of the danger that exists. And you just have to be a bit careful.
Connor, thank you so much. That's Connor Faulkner, transport consultant.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.